This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Between June and August, the number of kids and teenagers hospitalized for COVID increased fivefold around the U.S. Two CDC studies found that as the Delta variant has spread across the country, more kids have gotten seriously ill. Children are especially likely to be hospitalized in parts of the country with low vaccination rates. Children appear also to be at risk for developing long COVID. About 2-3% of kids are at risk of developing long-term health issues after contracting COVID-19, including developmental delays, diabetes, and memory problems. In general, though, children are still at a substantially lower risk from COVID than adults are. Taking a look now at how long COVID affects children and adults, Ajay Sethi is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Ajay, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Before we get into kids and long COVID, a piece of kid-related COVID news, the company that makes the Pfizer vaccine put out some pretty positive news today. Not a done deal yet. They're going to be applying for FDA approval before too long. What you're seeing now, what do you make of this news and the possibility that there will be a vaccine for kids, I think, in the age range 5 to 11?
Yeah, that's right. It is good news. Pfizer put out a statement that giving one-third a dose of vaccine to children between the ages of 5 and 11 produces an immune response that you would expect would be protective based on what has been observed in teens and adults. The vaccine is safe in kids as well. Of course, they haven't shared the data yet. They're going to be now assembling that. It will be reviewed by the FDA, and hopefully by Halloween, children between the ages 5 and 11 will be eligible for the vaccine under emergency use authorization.
Now, as I mentioned, kids are at lower risk from COVID than grown-ups are. That's, I think, still true under Delta. But because Delta is spreading so quickly, a lot more kids are getting exposed to it. What are we seeing when it comes to illnesses and hospitalizations among children?
Yeah, now that schools are largely being held in person with in-person instruction, more kids are getting exposed, and especially in those school systems where masks are not being widely used. And the more kids who are exposed, of course, then more kids become ill, and we are seeing a rise in hospitalizations, including kids in the ICU, which is really very much preventable. If everybody who's eligible to get a vaccine can get vaccinated, we'll see less rates of COVID in children.
One of the things that prompted us to give you a call is this ongoing somewhat mystery of long COVID. What do we mean when we say long COVID or long haul COVID?
Yeah, so this is, there are a lot of terms for this, like sort of a post-COVID syndrome. And usually it takes 3 to 4 weeks to recover from COVID. And if there are any lingering symptoms after 4 weeks, then someone may be, believed to have what's called long COVID. The symptoms, can vary. There's a wide range, and it's presents itself pretty similarly in kids and adults. But you get difficulty breathing, some shortness of breath, fatigue is commonly reported. Sort of losing your breath after you just, engage in minor physical activity. Brain fog, also something that's reported. These things tend to resolve themselves, but they can last a while and they can be very worrisome. And people have equated this to things like chronic fatigue syndrome and other sort of post-viral syndromes.
What are some of the thoughts on causes for this? You mentioned the phrase post-viral there. There's not a thought, I think, that that the virus is still active in these people, right?
No, I mean, so there are probably lots of different mechanisms, and long COVID could be an umbrella term for many different kinds of syndromes, each with its own pathology. So the immune system is very active when somebody has COVID infection, and some of it might be that imbalance that occurs because of that. Some might be physiologic. Some people have also posited that little bits of the virus still remain in the cells, causing damage that might cause some of these syndromes. We know that COVID can affect multiple organs. And because of that, the recovery can be quite complex and quite lengthy.
What kind of research is out there now to try to figure out what's causing this long-haul COVID or these different kinds of long-haul COVID?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are involved. So the neurologists are certainly focusing on the brain fog and the memory issues and attention issues that are occurring in some people and kids. The immunologists are certainly interested in knowing what role the immune response plays and sort of what kind of dysregulation has occurred. People who study oxidative stress, the buildup of oxygen in our cells that leads to damage of those cells are also involved. The mechanisms are still being worked out, but there are some similarities, again, with things like Epstein-Barr virus infection, which causes mononucleosis, can have a long recovery period. Chronic fatigue syndrome also sometimes has a viral trigger. People are studying and comparing how the physiology may be similar and different. Most likely, it's going to be, you know, multiple different mechanisms. And right now, we just have one umbrella term for all of it.
Do we know if there's a link between the severity of the initial COVID illness and the risk of long-term COVID?
You know, there, it's not highly correlated. You would think it would be, but it turns out people who have mild, maybe even asymptomatic disease, including kids, down the line can start to experience some of these long COVID symptoms. And that's yet another mystery for this virus. And it I think it creates a little bit more worry that even a mild case can lead to long-term symptoms.
We're talking to Ajay Sethi, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest news on COVID-19, including the risks of so-called long COVID or long-haul COVID, symptoms that persist after initial disease, and the risks for kids, both of initial infection and that long-term illness. Ajay, I want to turn to, I guess, regional differences in our vaccination rates. It seems like there's high risks of outbreaks in some places that are often the least vaccinated parts of our state or our country. What are you seeing?
That's right. There's a pretty strong correlation, actually, that where we're seeing the most cases in kids is where adults are less likely to be vaccinated. Here in Wisconsin, you know, about 45-46% of 12 to 15 year olds are vaccinated, even though they're eligible. They might also likely have parents who are not vaccinated as well, but vaccination rates are higher with increasing age. It's just not high enough. Again, children under 12, 11 years and younger are just not eligible to be vaccinated yet. And the best way to protect them is for everyone older to get the vaccine.
Looking at the Delta variant in particular, the reason it's become such a problem, it seems like, Ajay, is it transmits so much faster and more easily than the initial versions. Not that an individual case will necessarily be more dangerous, it's just that spread. Is that why it has us so concerned?
Yeah, that's right. The mutations in the spike protein for the Delta variant allow it to reproduce quite a bit. And people who are infected with the virus end up putting out a lot of virus. They're very infectious. And then when you're exposed to that kind of dose as well and begin, you know, producing more virus yourself after infection, even if you're vaccinated, you really end up overwhelming your immune system. If you're vaccinated, it will kick in and you'll clear that far faster than someone who is unvaccinated. And we're finding it's easily spread and it's not very difficult to experience symptoms after exposure.
A big question a lot of people may have, especially older people listening, may be about booster shots. We're hearing from the White House and the FDA now talk about who should get booster shots, some recommendations for more at-risk people. Who out there should be thinking, yes, I need that booster shot, I'm eligible, how do I get it?
Yeah, right now, so boosters are recommended for people who did not develop protection after two doses. So we won't really call that a booster, we'll call it a third dose. So people who are immunocompromised. The FDA advisory panel had met last week about looking at the data for boosters, and they recommended that people older than 65 should get boosted, and younger than that, the data aren't convincing that it's necessary at the moment. That's the first step in the process. The ACIP for CDC will review the data and then make a recommendation. Eventually, our state health department will then translate that to guidelines, and health systems around the state will be ready to begin vaccinating people who are deemed eligible.
Ajay, in our last couple minutes, last year, things really started to ramp up here in Wisconsin, I think in around October. Are you worried that our peak may be coming soon with Delta?
Yeah, the models are predicting it's going to be in October and in November, similar to last year. If you look at the country, we started seeing high rates in the south. It's been creeping up. As it's moving north, it's now in West Virginia and Tennessee, and Wisconsin is nearby. Definitely worried about that. And it's already, the data today shows a large number of cases that were newly identified.
And as you watch for public health, what are you telling people when they ask you questions, Ajay, about our risk here?
The risk is, it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. The stress on the healthcare system is not trivial, and healthcare workers are exhausted across the state. Too many people are not vaccinated, and that's the best way to protect themselves, our community, our healthcare system. And it's something that people should choose because we have such safe and effective vaccines.
Ajay, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Rob.
Ajay Sethi is an associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us for a look at some of the latest news about COVID-19, including concerns about longer-lasting symptoms from the illness and the risks for kids during the Delta variant.